live on Blog Talk Radio. The Candid Frank Live Show.
Candid Frank Live.
With
about half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill.
John the Argo Boat Logo Granger.
Candid Frank Live.
Christopher Lion's Den Jones. Mike. The CFL is the best football in the world, Townsend. Kelly, Rough Rider Daddy Bale. Manasseh, Blog Talk Radio Show, Geber Medine. And Bruce, Hamilton Tiger Cat, 13th man, John Inch.
Okay. We finally survived the first week. I guess if you read the teaser at the top of the show that you use your finger to play, you will notice that one of the comments was, well, let's go through the comments. First of all, John Cornish, great player. Awesome player. We talked about him last week, and this might sound almost hypocritical because I wasn't referring to him as being as good as he could be. Playing as well as a player can play in the playoffs. He has not had, that playoff success that most great athletes hunger for. And in fairness, and the point I tried making earlier is that Darian Durant, same boat. Last year he finally won, and it changes a person, not just a player. It's not just about the walk. It's not just about the cockiness that you get to display. It's about the satisfaction and the feeling of accomplishment. And that is what I hope for Cornish. Will it happen in Calgary? I don't know. Will it happen wherever? Which reminds me, speaking of Calgary, I got to call somebody else. I miss somebody. Anyway, yeah. And what Hebert did to me is, remember now, you may have seen a hit like this 10, 15 years ago. You may even have seen a hit like this 5 years ago. But today, that hit is seen in a completely different light. You know, this sensitivity brought on by lawsuits, not by the kindness of football organizations, as does happen with, big companies, big corporations, they need to be accountable for what they do and, more importantly, what they don't do. And in the case of concussions, the NFL has been given a rude awakening. And it's one also that the CFL, by virtue of association, as far as the game is concerned, needs to be concerned about. And they have a system in place in reaction to a concussion, or even, one would suggest, a reaction to what might be a concussion. And even though a lot of these injuries that are concussion-defined, a lot of them are neck problems, which this one looks like it's definitely going to be for John Cornish, a neck problem. The play where this happened, it looked to me like an open fist punch, lunge, grab, and yank as hard as you can in the hopes that maybe you separate the guy's head from his shoulder. That's what it looked like. Well, my question is, what do you do with a guy who does something like that in 2014? Do you suspend him? Do you suspend him for a prolonged period? Do you boot him out of the game? You know, all of those options are open for me in as far as how to treat this player. Somebody, I don't know, for some reason he didn't get the message. The email didn't go to him where, you know, things have changed, buddy. You don't do this kind of stuff. You know, it just isn't acceptable. These are career-ending, I don't even want to call it a play, Bush League tactics. And it's as Bush League gets. So, yeah, my best wishes to John Cornish, a speedy recovery. He's the opposition as far as the jersey he wears, but he's another human being, which means he wears the same jersey that the rest of us wear when we're not playing, working, or doing whatever it is that we do on our own time. Best wishes to him. I really didn't like what I saw, and it was horrifying for me. Not related, not married to, not my dad, not my son, and it horrified me. That play horrified me. Disgusting, really. On a lighter note, MLSC's pockets aren't any lighter because it appears that $10 million in the share in the Grey Cup, whenever it comes to Toronto, just isn't enough to make it all happen. Or, you know, make it all happen. So they've walked away, apparently, from the deal. This comes from Mr. Fadu. And Mr. Fadu is the guy that's on Sportsnet. The guy with the unshaven glasses, sometimes wears a hat. Looks like there should be a park bench beside him. There are always wonderful things that happen that are even more interesting than anything. Let's start with who would have thought? I mean, who in their right mind would have said after one game, the Ottawa Redblacks are in first place? And the exercise in stretching and bending over backwards that was required for that to be the case, we have ourselves finally at the end of week one. At the end of week one, finally, we're there. End of the week. End of week one. We have the Argos losing by a mere 24 points. John and Frank said, yes, the Argos would win. Probably in double figures. I think we have to rethink the theory here a little bit because Winnipeg made the Argos look ordinary. I could use the standard conspiracy theory because if you follow the money, the loss by the Argos created a lot of ticket sales for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. That's a good thing. That's a great thing. The second game featured the Montreal Alouettes and the Calgary Stampeders, a team that I feel is on the downslide because of the upward mobility of both Winnipeg and Edmonton. My thing is I really felt that Edmonton would be a team that makes the playoffs, denying the Calgary Stampeders that glory that they've had for the past few years. And, of course, the Alves, you know, they played, I just can't figure them out. I really believe they're a lot better than that loss would indicate. But then again, it might be that Calgary's better than I thought they were. And the Owls just aren't as good. Then, of course, we have the Edmonton Eskimos who roll into BC Place. All right? They roll into BC Place and they win 27-20. 27-20. It's not so much that the score, it's just the fact that they won. And Chris Jones, not Christopher Jones, this is one of those times where you get a happy Chris Jones or an unhappy Christopher Jones, and we ended up with the unhappy Christopher Jones in this case. Which is okay, because you know what? Christopher knows his team's going to win the Grey Cup anyway. They only have to win about 7 or 8 games, and they'll win the Grey Cup. Because that's what it's going to be this year. I'll tell you, if Winnipeg and Edmonton are for real, and people are talking crossover. I'm not even sure that they can do the crossover, and I don't think the crossover exists anymore, but I'll get the experts to tell me for sure. And then the final game, I got to tell you, I have heard so many compliments about Bruce John Inch, one of the nicest men in the world, one of the best sports in the world. His team takes a thrashing. But I suppose possibly because they lost 31-10, which was a lot better than the Grey Cup score, I guess that's a step up for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. for now, anyway. And they didn't look impressive, but we all know that, you know, they probably have more players, you know, being taken care of due to physical ailments than they do probably playing. That's an exaggeration, but trust me when I say this, there are quite a few. So I've had the opportunity to, you know, enjoy this experience of this first week in the CFL. I am so thrilled. It was a great week. It was wonderful to see all the excitement about the games. And it's amazing how after one game, how many teams are out of the playoffs? And how many of them are going to the Grey Cup after one game? Methinks you get a little too excited there, folks. It ain't over for the Argos. A little later I did a parody with a song called Bad Day and wrote some lyrics and I kind of sang. I don't know if you can call what I do singing. It's, you know, it sounds more like a car when it's about, when it needs new brakes. Anyway, it's been a thrill. It was a thrill doing that. It took 2 days. I admire John Lennon and company. They know what they're doing and they can probably whip a song out in a few minutes. Me, it was hard labor. It was terrible. Okay, so I believe that we got John today, not his answering machine. And I believe he's already made his sandwich. Have you made your sandwich already, John?
Just about. Almost.
Almost? Okay. Top of the evening to you, buddy.
Oh, likewise. And I have to say, I had 3.5 picks right out of the 4 games. I was half right about the Argo game. It was a double-digit win. So let's go there, Frank. You want to call it right?
Well,
there
whatever.
Was a double-digit. There you go.
I don't know how far off I was because I don't remember what happened 2 minutes ago. So that's kind of tough for me.
You'd remember if you picked them right.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. There's an assumption. All right. Also with us tonight is, of course, Bruce John Inch. Who are you done watching 24 now?
I am. Husky Wee Wee.
Husky Wee Wee to you. People have told me how wonderful a person you are, how accepting
sure
you are of defeat.
I'm sure they have. What else are you going to do, man? You got to accept it. Move on.
That's right. And there's always next week, right?
I seem to grow up more and more each year, man, because like last year at this time I would have been not too happy. But, you know, it is what it is. I can't do anything to change it. We obviously
And you do know there's a better future for you. And you,
you
do know there's a better future for you, right?
You know that, too. Can't get any worse, Frank, right?
Yeah, hey.
Can't get any worse than
that
game.
You're preaching to the choir. You're preaching to the choir. It better not get any worse, or John and I both are going to start strapping pads on. To whatever good that
we only lost 2 quarters on Thursday. Only 2.
You
okay?
Guys,
2 out of 4. You know, if we just would have won one more quarter, we might have been okay.
Now, you know what? It was the first game of the year, and I'm throwing the conspiracy theory in because they wanted to sell more Edmonton, more Winnipeg tickets.
You know, it wasn't that. It was what I expected, really, honestly, at the preseason game. This was O'Shea's first game back. He wanted to prove something. But then again, he was still filtering the guys who he needed. But seriously, these guys were tuned in. They were focused. And, Frank, you know, you stay in touch with the Winnipeg fans, and they'll tell you they're so disappointed in the last decade that, especially the last year, you know, winning only one game at home, that's hard. That's really hard. This was something big for them. I was a little bit disappointed with the turnout, but again, it's a Thursday night in Winnipeg, and perhaps that something had something to do with it, but I really was surprised, you know, with, I don't know if you guys were, it was beautiful weather, looked like it. I mean, perfect night for a game. Unlike yesterday in Saskatchewan, oh my God. I mean,
yeah, we can get into that in a little bit, John. Let me finish, guys, introducing the people in the room, and in some cases I have to guess, and I guess the best thing. So I believe we have, I always forget which one's Christopher and which one's Manasseh, but I believe we've got both of them in the room right now, right, guys?
I'm here, definitely.
Yep, I know. What's going on?
Okay, you guys are right beside each other, and I got the 661 and the 651. Also, we have Mike Townsend in the room as well, who well, how shall I say this? He spent a lot of time unable to access the internet because of poor signal strength.
Yeah, man, you know how it is being up on the Northwest. Sometimes the signal sucks.
Yeah, no kidding, no kidding.
Yeah, what's up, fellas?
Greetings. Also,
what's going on, Mike? Why you sound? What's going on, man? You sound depressed, bro. What's going on?
Nah, man, I'm just laying here chilling, dude. I got the night off, so I'm just relaxing, man. Watching some episodes of Fallen Skies that I downloaded, so I'm just chilling.
Oh, you like that show?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I like that show, too. They had it here, and then it disappeared. And it's like, what, four seasons in now, right? Something like that?
Yep. Four seasons. The fourth season just started last Sunday.
Yeah, I tried watching Falling Skies.
Okay.
It's like the Terminator.
Tonight, too, eh?
It's like the Terminator, robots against people, right, Mike?
No, aliens, Frank.
Aliens.
Aliens.
Aliens, right, aliens. But the aliens,
you know, a lot of that
robots.
Was here in Toronto?
Yeah. Do you guys get TNT up there?
Yeah, we get TNT here. Also, you heard Steve Richardson. That was Steve Richardson. And also Kelly Bale, I think, going by numbers here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Stevie, say hi again. You're at the bottom of the list, and I'm going down the list, my dear. It's not because of who you are. It's because of where you are. And then we've got Rob J. Emery just before Debbie.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
A little pistol in the building.
What up?
Hey, Robbie.
What up?
What up?
What up, though?
So Robbie, and then, of course, I said Debbie Wormsbecker. Debbie, welcome to the program.
Thank
welcome,
you,
Debbie.
Hello.
Hi, Debbie.
So,
hi, guys.
And I wish Stevie Myers was here because I can't imagine how thrilled you are, Robbie, to have a first place team in the Eastern Division who hasn't thrown a pitch, a throw.
liking it.
Go Red Legs.
Hey, if they don't play a game
this
year, they'll stay in first.
Oh, yeah, true. But you know what? Ottawa will win more than eight games this year. Ottawa
will
win more than eight games this year.
Oh, yeah. I go with that.
They have an amazing offensive line, an amazing quarterback, an amazing running back, an awesome coach, and they got fan support that's coming, like, it just blows me away.
The way Montreal, Toronto, and Hamilton played, it shouldn't be too hard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well. But,
well, it's going to be
yeah.
the first team that wins is going to win the division. This has all been established in one game. I don't know why they bother playing 18 games. You only need to play one game.
You know, it's crazy, too, because I'm pretty sure all the East teams have a Western opponent again next week, right? Yeah.
You know, if they didn't play their own division, we could actually see a tie for first at zero wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an east-west week next week, Kelly. Across the board.
Yeah.
Oh, is that Chris? Is that Chris? Chris, what's up with Kevin Glenn, man? It's a heck of a debut,
huh?
Doesn't
matter. He didn't play a bad game.
I gotta switch my calendar here.
Well, you just say he didn't play a bad game?
Boy,
he didn't play that bad
come on.
Game.
I admit my Ticats played crap game. Well, you can't get much crappier than throwing four interceptions.
First, you lose with class, and I admire that.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad of a game, okay? You're talking about a quarterback who's only been with the team for 3.5 weeks. He does not know the receivers.
Right.
And he was only told that he was going to be the starter a week and a half ago. So, you know what? Cut the guy some slack. I think he did an amazing job with a short period of time that he was there.
12.
Yep. And he has one of the best quarterbacks ever in the CFL, Ken Austin, showing him the way, right? Like, everyone's like, oh, Ken Austin, this coach
That's
Austin.
That's Zach Close, man.
Who
we're
gives a shit?
Kevin
he was one of the best quarterbacks in the CFL.
Robbie, we're talking about Kevin Glenn over at BC, not Zach Collaros
yeah.
and Hamilton.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Never mind.
Okay.
Keep going.
It's
all good, bro.
I just wanted to make sure that you knew that Ken Austin wasn't.
Well, listen, the bottom line, the end of the day, and the writing's on the wall, BC is not as indestructible as some may have thought, and they're just as human as everybody else. The only problem with being BC is they're the only team in the West that lost last week.
They're the only team that played in the West last week.
I know. Just kidding. I mean, you know, Christopher.
I just want to point that out, okay?
Yeah, no, I know. Hey, listen.
Play each other. One of them's got to lose.
That's right. Well, BC, you know, if I guess, why don't we discuss this? Just simply, by surprises, which was the biggest surprise, victory-wise, one at a time, guys, and which was the biggest surprise, losing-wise? You know, best and the worst of the week as far as surprises are concerned. I'm going to go first and say how badly the Argos lost, and that's just me being, how badly the Argos lost to me was amazing, and how inept
Herb stomped.
They looked. Oh, they were
yeah.
bitches that night. You know, Winnipeg made them their bitches. I know that John's saying it was only two quarters, but, you know, when you are so desperate at the end of the game to take out Ricky Ray and throw poor Harris in there to the Wolves without even a chance of knowing he's going to go out there, that's a rattled team. And thank goodness for Chad Owens.
Yeah.
Class player. Like he said to the camera, there's no quitting me. And that's a great leader, and that's good for us because we got a guy who's going to help make things better real quick.
For sure.
And the worst, biggest surprise for me, I'd like to say Winnipeg, but I'm not going to say Winnipeg. I'm going to say Edmonton. Because I really thought it would take them a little longer to gravitate to the defense that Chris Jones is trying to, you know, to create.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job.
But Winnipeg is very close to the biggest surprise of the week for me. So, Kelly, you're talking. Why don't you give us your biggest loss surprise and biggest win surprise?
Do mine quickly. I think the Hamilton loss was the most surprising. I only expected them to lose by, you know, several points under 10. So, you know, I wasn't predicting a complete blowout. And then the biggest win, I definitely have to go Winnipeg as well. I mean, they just impressed the heck out of me. And that's my piece. Who's next?
Thank you. Now, at the bottom of the list now, like I said, I always confuse Manasseh and Christopher because now whoever it is, moved down below Debbie. Debbie, you'll be next. Think about what you're going to say. And I'll assume it's – I'm going to guess it's Christopher that you came in and out.
I did.
Okay, so it was you. All right. Fair enough.
You
so
want me
best
to know?
And worst. Yeah, best and worst of the week. What team played the best that you're surprised
the
and
the two best victories for me is I was really impressed with Edmonton, but basically Edmonton I didn't think was that bad of a team last year. So
me neither.
The Lions was it. But I think the victory Winnipeg manhandled Toronto was a far greater victory for me. I just that just blew me away that no idea that team was put the way that, like that. Very much surprised me. And the biggest loss that I freaked me out was they were going to be a much better. They stunk
Christopher,
it up.
Christopher,
yeah?
I'm going to call you because
you're skipping.
You sound horrible, my friend. Not you personally.
Okay.
The connection is crap. So I'm going to call you.
Yeah.
So that, you know, because I want to understand what you're saying, because what you're saying is very important to me, okay? And I'll give you a call right now, all right? Yeah, it's too bad. Sometimes the connections are crap, and there's nothing we can do about it. All right, so Debbie, it's your turn, my dear.
Okay, fellas. I would say my biggest surprise and
not so much a surprise, but I was excited, is Winnipeg. They did an amazing job. Very proud of them. Very happy for the fans that they have something to cheer about again. Drew Willey is great for them. It looks like it's going to be a positive move in their direction. My biggest upset was Hamilton. I expected them to step up a little bit more than they did yesterday. 10 sacks? Wow. That's not cool. So, that's my opinion. I'm stupid.
Good for you. Okay, Rob J. Emery. We're asking the important question. It doesn't have anything to do with the Red Blacks, only because they didn't play last week. Which team gave you the biggest surprise in victory and in losses? In loss.
Let me see here. The biggest victory, I think. I think I have two of them. Did Winnipeg win? Yes, eh?
Yeah, they kind of did. Yeah. It was a close game, but
they won. So congratulations to Mike O'Shea for his first time doing it. And for Edmonton, for Chris Jones, congratulations to him because, you know what, his team came out, they came back and won the game, you know, and it was just
they
like,
sure did.
You know, why I have all the games taped, and I'm watching the games, and it's just like boom, 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 and it was just like an amazing comeback.
Great,
and
you've used one extra. I asked for one and one. You've used two wins. Now a loss, please. Try to keep it to one. Narrow it down to one. There are only four losers this week.
A loss was Hamilton.
Which team biggest surprise in losing
was the Hamilton Saskatchewan game? It was nothing like the Grey Cup game because that game was very close. This game was not even close at all. Saskatchewan ran all over Hamilton. And showed Hamilton that they were a better team. And I was really, really upset.
Fantastic, Rob. Thank you very much. Let's move on to Mike Townsend. Mike, biggest surprise in winning, biggest surprise in losing? And why?
Biggest surprise in winning to me was, which is not really no big surprise, man, because I picked Edmonton to win. But the way they played, I mean, they came out to play, and they played well. And my biggest loss to me was the Calgary-Montreal loss. I just didn't see no offense from Montreal. I mean, Trey Smith struggled all day. The line kind of gave up on him. His passes was off. He was overthrowing, underthrowing. I mean, I think all the receivers probably had maybe like two catches apiece. And this offense didn't really click, man. Trey Smith, he sucked.
And the problem wasn't that they dropped the balls. It's not that he threw great passes and they dropped them either. The passes weren't that good.
He couldn't even get the ball to them. They wasn't that good. And to some of the inboxes I got, I wasn't going to mention this, but I'll mention it now. Some of the inboxes I got about Chad, knock it off. And all the receivers didn't even get the ball, so knock it off.
Christopher's bothering you, is he?
It was not
wasn't
me.
You?
I would
I'm
never do that.
Surprised.
No, it wasn't me.
It wasn't. Okay. Well, a good call. And the best win of the week, you didn't give that, did you?
Yeah, Edmonton.
Oh, okay, right. You did. I'm sorry. Manasse, your 2 cents. Even a nickel.
Yeah,
nine.
The best
quarter.
Yeah, the best win was Edmonton, the way they came back after Mike Riley threw the pick. And then the worst loss was the wet paper towel that was Hamilton's offensive line. I mean, that was incredible what they did to Zach Kolaros, and I think this sums it up.
Did it get any worse for the Tiger Cats?
And that's all I got to say.
and you know, Zach Kolaros, what is it now?
Wow, that was a good one.
The quarterbacks with Hamilton have been sacked, what, in the last three games, 23 times or something?
Oh, good God.
Yeah, it's something rude.
Yeah, they tattooed him, man. That was really sad. I felt bad. It was depressing. It was like watching a little kid get bullied, and you were just like, when is this going to end, man? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It is just the beginning of the season, guys. I mean, it is game one. I mean, fortunes for teams may not change even in the immediate future, but there's plenty of time to recover and to straighten out your season. And just because you're starting out real well, Manasseh, you got to admit that. There's no guarantee just because teams played well in week one.
No, the one thing we're guaranteed is the Eastern teams are not going to win the Grey Cup this year, that's for sure.
No, they just won't win a lot of games until the Grey Cup. The Argos are just going to lay low. Like I said back in January, they're going to take their time. They got a lot of I didn't have much faith in them, and I've said it here publicly. I just didn't think they'd play that bad or they'd look that bad in the first game. But I did know, and I do know, that they have some pieces to find, some holes to fill, and the defense was atrocious. As bad as it was last year, it was probably, hopefully this is how it sunk down the most. But like John says, the score, I don't think, when you consider the score, Willie made some fantastic, he made some major league passes. But really, should anybody be surprised? This guy's a seasoned pro. Just because he sat behind Durant didn't mean that he wasn't capable of playing. I mean, I guess Mike and Manasseh, you guys will vouch for this, right? So you shouldn't be that surprised if they did that well. I like what I saw from Willie.
Heck yeah, you should be surprised. The guy was nailing them in there. He had the best start of his life. I mean,
he sure did.
He was just, I was
in the
awe.
CFL, John.
No,
CFL.
Never mind CFL. Even the way he was laying them in that first touchdown throw and zipping him right down the middle. No, you got to give him credit, full credit. The guy was on his game. Now,
yes, I'm giving credit. I'm saying it shouldn't be a surprise. The guy has a history of winning.
Look, the pressure and the perfect storm was there for Winnipeg to do it right and probably for Toronto to do it wrong. I think O'Shea was maybe a little bit in Scott's head, considering that, you know, he had a little bit of advantage knowing how the opposition gets ready and what the coaches think. You know, it's a little bit the other way around. Scott doesn't know what O'Shea is thinking. He's never coached the whole game. So
there you go.
That's the reason why I saw the hurry-up offense that the Argos were doing.
It was suicide.
Yeah.
They didn't have it down at all.
Well, that's probably just trying to play the opposition of what O'Shea knows about the Argos and playing the opposite of that, right? So there's a lot of things that came into play. I just think Winnipeg needed that. I think even
John,
so
I told
perhaps
you before, it's a conspiracy. The Argos were helping Winnipeg sell tickets.
Well, I don't know about that.
And I think it worked.
I don't know if it could have been Edmonton in there, could have been BC in there. And if Winnipeg pulls that kind of game off, people should go and buy tickets. They got something to look forward to. I mean, come on.
It
wouldn't have mattered if it was Toronto or not. It just happened to be Argos.
Absolutely.
And
the fans deserve that.
If that was the Riders, I think it would have been even bigger. But
yeah, Don't worry. Winnipeg's gnashing their teeth right now, waiting for Saskatchewan. They're just waiting to get at them. Remember, they weren't that good last year. They beat them. Mr. Richardson, how's it going, buddy?
First thing, Storm wants you to give him a call.
Storm? Okay. Thanks, guys. Sorry.
Okay.
I knew I was in the middle of that, and I knew that I forgot him, but I advised him, and I'll advise anyone who wants to be on the show and expects me to call. You gotta send me the message to call you 15 minutes before the show. Otherwise, you get
or
lost.
Or get a hold of me.
Or get a hold of, yeah, or get a hold of Christopher, you smartass. Okay. You know the question. How about the answer, Mr. Richardson?
Okay, surprise loss and surprise win, right?
Right.
Okay, unfortunately, I didn't see this game. I was out with family and friends for a barbecue, but the surprise win for me, I guess I would have to go with Edmonton.
You
I can't really comment
up,
on the game, unfortunately, because I didn't see it.
That
was I was just getting alerts on my phone, and I was getting a little bit surprised about that. So I would have to, but I will go with Edmonton on that. Surprise loss, I'm going to have to go with Hamilton. I shouldn't say so much a surprise of a loss in general, though. It was just how the game was played. They just looked totally confused out there.
Available. The mailbox below.
Yeah. Oh, rub it in, rub it in. Rub it in, rub it in, rub it in, rub it in. Halfway through
the Tiger Cats.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Mr. Richardson. That was an awesome, awesome, awesome display of intelligent response. My God. Interrupted by inane recorded verbiage. John, your turn, buddy.
Well, as I illustrated from my picks, 3 out of 4, obviously I am totally surprised with the Toronto loss and with the Winnipeg win. Plain and simple, I thought the other games turned out the way I thought they would. The
Fair
Toronto
department.
One, it was just,
thank you
yeah.
for using Telus Mobile.
You're welcome. But,
sorry, that's
me
trying to call Storm.
Yeah, yeah. No worries. Yeah, that's it for me, Frank. The obvious one.
I'm getting his answering machine. Next up, 604. That'd be a BC number.
It's me. Or is Charles on board?
No, Charles
is Cliff. Cliff Charles.
Charles jumped over a cliff.
It's Charles Cliff. Charles Cliff. His first name is Charles.
Yes, yes.
His last name is Cliff.
Or is it Cliff Charles?
Cliff Charles. One
wasn't that
other.
A jazz musician, Cliff Charles? Wasn't that a... I know it was a rock star my wife used to like when she was a kid, Cliff Richard. So go ahead. Lay it on the line, buddy. I'm talking to Christopher, of course.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking to Charles.
No, no, no. Charles isn't here.
Oh, okay, okay. Biggest loss, the surprise loss for me, without question, was Hamilton. I thought that they were much better than that, and they just took a thorough thrashing. It was a complete beatdown. And I really thought they were going to be a better team than that. The biggest surprise win for me would have been Winnipeg, because I just didn't expect them to have anything in their tank. I did not expect the improvement to be as substantiated as it was. And to go in there and just totally trash the Argos, was the Argos, so it wasn't that big of a surprise. But Winnipeg just came out and just stomped them, which just completely floored me. I do want to give an honorable mention to Edmonton for going into BC's house and on a comeback victory and beating BC. That's not something that happens very often. One loss last year at home, and to lose the first game of the year in BC Place was a bit of a shocker in that aspect of things. But plain and simple, Mike Benavides was out-coached on every
that's
aspect of that game.
Yep.
Okay, and that's my bottom line. It wasn't so much the team. He was out-coached.
What specific – I'm curious because I want to pursue this, and we will continue up the line. What events took place that give rise to the belief that, Benavides was out-coached by – I'm assuming you're talking about Christopher Jones.
Chris Jones.
Chris Jones.
I didn't know
coach him.
Okay, well, completely caught with their pants down on a short kickoff. There was just nobody there. Right? I mean, Edmonton comes up to the line and just does an onside kick and boom, picks up the ball and there they go. I mean, there wasn't even a BC player within 20 yards. And I think if the Edmonton guy didn't fall out of the sideline, he would have kept going. But I think he fell out of bounds. But another thing that they did was the fake field goal, right? The
would
holder
have
just
Chris,
does a shovel
Chris
pass
Jones
forward.
Was a trickster.
The stunts that he was pulling throughout that game were wonderful. I mean, he outcoached him. My hat's off to him. Edmonton's going to do a lot better than anybody thought. I mean, I always thought they were a good team last year.
Well, you and I both agree with that.
Yeah.
I got John laughing all year last year. When's this Edmonton team you're talking about going to show up? And
they
never did.
They lost 6 games by less than 5 points.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You're preaching to the choir. I'm with you.
They were not that bad of a team. So that's why I'm not surprised that they beat BC. but you know, not so much as I was Winnipeg beating Toronto and doing it in such a commanding fashion. So
and
Winnipeg gets
them.
My
they
thing, but Edmonton
tickets.
Gets an honorable mention.
And they sold more tickets because of it, which is awesome.
It's
more
what everybody wants.
Yeah, it's what we all
want. We want a strong CFL.
What was I going to – I forgot what I was going to say. So,
and by the way, that was
right.
a cool trick with the beer bottle and the quarter and the magnet. I was really
didn't
impressed
you, didn't
with that.
You like that? Wasn't that amazing?
I did. I shared it about 8 times.
I love that. That do you think
I,
it's
I'm
going to
try it tomorrow.
Is it a fix
I'm
or
try
is
it tomorrow.
Real?
I'll tell you tomorrow.
For those of you that are listening and for those of you that are in the group right now, I forget who posted it, but anyway, I reposted it. This guy comes out with a beer bottle, a new beer bottle, and he puts a magnet at the bottom of the bottle.
An ordinary fridge magnet.
An
Have
ordinary
you tried
fridge
it?
Magnet. Well, Christopher just said he's going to try it.
It's
and
fake.
Then he
My
took
buddy
a
already
quarter
tried it.
And but did he use an American quarter?
I didn't ask him that. But
well,
you know what I'm wondering,
important.
Too? I'm wondering if it has to be a non-twist-off. Because most Canada beers are twist-off for now.
So you know that
all American beers are twist-off except Corona. And it's Mexican.
Okay.
I'll try it with both of them tomorrow. I mean, I'll just
but
bottle
you know
up
what
some
I'm
beer
getting at,
and
right, Christopher, it may be important the quarter you use because the quarter makeup of a Canadian quarter and an American quarter are totally different.
100%. I agree with you. I'll try it with both. It's a good
yeah,
idea.
I'm just a piece of advice for me, that, from me, that's all. And you know, cool. It may be a parlor trick, you know, I mean, wouldn't put it... Now, who would ever believe that someone would be conned on the Internet?
Okay.
When
I've
does that
a phone
ever
happen? I got a phone number for Storm Schmidt that he put up, but I'm not going to give it to you over the air.
Okay.
And Stevie Myers wants a phone call.
Okay, and you know what? Hang on a second. I got to close a couple of windows here, and I'll do just that. Because I'm sure they're there if I close the windows. There's Kelly. Oh, nice picture, Kelly.
Hey, can I add a quick thing here?
Sure.
Go ahead.
We've
well,
gone around
Winnipeg fun. Is selling more tickets because they won, knowing the reputation that Toronto has, if the Argos lost, does that mean we're going to sell more tickets? Because it works for the Leafs.
Oh, that's just horrible.
I'm just saying.
Please don't compare my Argos to the Maple Leafs, if you don't mind.
Oh, no, of course not.
Please
but you know where I'm going with that.
Compare my Argos to the Maple Leafs. I even think a hater
Frank,
like Panace wouldn't like that.
Frank, did you watch them Thursday night?
Oh.
I think the Maple Leafs could have beat them.
Oh, it was like watching diarrhea.
Oh, come on.
Frank?
Yes,
I mean,
Debbie.
Come on, Winnipeg got 45 points. That was embarrassing.
Hey, listen, they were on a roll, and good for them. Go ahead, Debbie, please, chime in.
Sorry, I just need to say I have to hang up because this is costing me money, and
I want to
save some.
It's not worth the money, is what
you're
saying.
For the next show.
Of course not. And listen, all you have to do is message me and take a risk and give me your personal home number, and I'll call you.
Okay, I will. Thanks, Frank.
That's all you have to do. And there's no need, as I tell all these guys here, nobody should have to pay to be a part of this show because I don't pay you.
Okay.
It's a mutual nonprofit. It's a mutually nonprofit organization here that we're dealing with. Stormy, I think I finally got you in, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
That.
Thanks for the call, Frank.
Okay, sorry about the problem.
No problem.
Debbie, one last question before you go.
Yes, dear.
Why are you such a wonderful person?
I just am. I'm a Sagittarius. I love people. I'm a people person. I'm a non-judger. I'm a lover. I'm not a fighter. You guys can
and
take
I
it
was.
The rest.
But the reason I said that was is that what you were supposed to say was, Frank, the only reason I called you is because I'm so bored and I'm locked into my house because of this stupid rainstorm.
Oh, you know what? You guys are my house. You guys, I love you guys. You're
oh,
my...
We all
love
you too, sweetie.
You are my...
I wish more ladies
would
call.
You're my ghost people tonight.
Nice.
There you go. I wish more
I'm
ladies would call.
Okay, I'll see what I can do. I'll try and hook up the lead girl.
Thank you,
I'll
dear.
I'll try and hook up the help.
Okay. I'm going to call Stevie Myers now. Thank you, dear. Debbie Wormsbecker. Die Hard Saskatchewan.
Yay, Debbie.
And, of course, the CFL is admin. Thanks to her, Mike and I decided today that we don't have to do very much.
Yeah,
you're welcome,
all the ladies
guys.
In the group, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for all the ladies in the group.
Right on. We appreciate all that
nice.
You guys we truly do. Also joining us in the room, and Mr. Stevie Myers breaks the record for Candid Frank, CFL is with Debbie and, oops, we lost two. Anyway, five, 10. We reach 12 peeps in the room, and I am grateful for that. And if you notice you don't have much opportunity to say much, guys, ain't my fault. It's because of all the people that are interested in being on the show, and I appreciate all of you that are on the show and that continually call. One thing, one rule that we do have is that we try to have fun, and but one thing we also do is we don't hold any grudges, and I thank all the people in this group right now. We've all had our differences, but one thing we've all agreed on is too much fun talking CFL football to hold a grudge. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Amen.
Totally.
Right? And that's the way it works, and I'm glad that it worked that way. So now I got another, I think, I'm trying to get back, guys. So now, Manasseh, where do you want to go? Where do you want to go now?
Oh,
sorry. No. You know what? Bruce, next time, stand up.
Okay. Yeah.
This is where you're supposed to stay.
The problem is, are you still going to see him?
It's easy, man.
Up.
My biggest disappointment was the Tie Cats, obviously. And my biggest surprise was Saskatchewan. Move on.
All right, on.
Smithy.
You're breaking up, Frank.
I'm breaking up.
Hello. Frank?
Am I breaking up?
Hello. Yeah, you were doing what Storm was doing before, cutting in and out.
No, there's no popcorn over here.
Okay,
who had the phone back in? who got?
Christopher did, I think.
Okay, yeah.
We were having issues earlier on.
Storm, here's the question.
Yes.
Biggest surprise, victory and loss? One of each.
Victory would probably have to be Edmonton a little bit, even though I did pick them. But, and the biggest win, of course, Calgary. But I got a bone to pick.
I know the bone you got to pick. Let's pick it after everybody's done. Has everybody had their opportunity to give their opinion on the best surprise and the worst disappointment?
No, I haven't yet.
Okay,
then
surprised. I wasn't surprised about Saskatchewan over Hamilton because Hamilton, sorry guys out there if you're Hamilton fans, but the quarterback is just not your thing. And I'm not putting no grudge against you. I mean, I like all CFL teams, different players here and there.
Which team lost surprised you the most? If you weren't surprised that Hamilton lost, that was the question.
You're breaking up again.
Maybe we should just put Frank in the corner.
Put him on a timeout.
You're world-class, Toronto. World-class losers!
Hello?
Yes, we're here.
Yeah. We're taking a break.
We're
not
going to
take a break.
Okay,
if Frank had posted an agenda, we could carry on.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, this is much better, Frank.
Yep.
Okay. I just turned my mic off and turned it back on. Anyway.
It worked.
Oh, good. Thank you. Now, Stevie Myers, did I bring him in? I'm sorry. I'm very concerned.
You haven't yet. No, but I'm here.
Okay.
Hey, bros.
What's up, man?
What's up, guys?
Okay, who hasn't had their chance to give their two cents about the surprise?
I haven't yet.
Stevie
hasn't.
Then go ahead, Stevie.
Okay. First, I got to admit, I didn't watch the two Saturday games. I had a gig on Saturday, so I just had a quick look at the highlights on those games. Biggest win surprise was Winnipeg. Thought Willie looked really good. He didn't look like a rookie out there. And the biggest surprise loss had to be the Ticats. But I am going to say, I'm saying with a bit of an asterisk next to it, because I think I don't put a lot of stock on the first two games. I think we'll have a better idea by the time we get to game three and four of the regular season. Right
Stevie,
now, we're
I need a favor from you, Stevie.
Yep.
You got to send me one of your tunes, a tune that you'd like to share with us that I'll use
okay.
as a musical, a halftime musical interlude.
Okay.
And it could
That'd be awesome.
And it could compete with the talent that I'm going to display at halftime.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, we'll do it sometime, yeah.
So Stevie, how do you like Ottawa being in first place?
I love it.
Yeah.
Love it. I like to say we're the best team that's never played a down.
Yeah, that's right.
That is awesome.
They didn't miss a field goal. They didn't score a touchdown.
Yeah, undefeated. Undefeated. All last year.
They're undefeated after week one, that's for sure. And in first place.
Yeah.
In the East.
Hey, who would have predicted
awesome.
That?
We love it.
They'd be in first place.
Frank, your mic's
Turn
on
off
again.
Your mic, Frank.
Oh, okay.
Turn off your mic.
Okay.
Okay, listen, I'll
Stevie,
tell you what.
You get to gloat for another 3 days, okay? And then Ottawa's got to play Winnipeg.
Yeah, I know.
Ottawa's
going to
win.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Ah, you never know. I mean, the CFL.
I don't know if I'm back or not, but if I'm not, I'm not. If I am, I am. And what I will say is I'll play that tune a little bit earlier in the hopes that I use up the time when my internet apparently is giving up on giving me a reasonable, opportunity to be heard. There's nothing worse than not being heard. You know, I went all the way down to look for something and I didn't find it. And now I'm going to go all the way down again to find it. Here it is. There it is. 4 minutes and 10 seconds, if you can hear me, guys. This is for you, number 34, not on the team, but always part of the family.
This was the moment it finally arrived. Turn up LSE, we'll be just fine. Our double blue skies are blue and gray. Has the Argo passion gone away? No, we definitely will be carrying on. You stand behind center in the new Argo low. Our offense didn't quite go. Oh no, no. Your passes were ill-timed and offline. Flush from the pocket, it seemed every time. But you know we'll carry on. Cause you had a bad day, couldn't make a first down. You tried to go long to turn it around. But constant penalties, your tell you couldn't hide. The work on the ground, it did go fine. You had a bad day, GFN don't lie. You're coming back to town in the right frame of mind. You had a bad day. Our number one, Ricky Ray.
Friends of the Argo.
Argo.
You're right. CFL
Argo.
Is the best football in the world.
We love our Argos. Yay, Argos. It's
Argos, Argos.
Well, John will poo-poo the Argos play. Bruce will laugh at what he say. But we know you'll carry on. Let's not dwell, just turn it around. Ricky's a go, the coaches won't cry. The workouts, the pace will be really high. You had a bad day, GFN don't lie. You're coming back to town in the right frame of mind. You had a bad day.
True!
Yeah, double blue,
double blue.
Let's show your sometimes the system goes on the fritz and the whole thing turns out wrong. Mamanovich, Parker and company will make our Argo strong. No, I'm not wrong.
Kissinger.
Where is the passion?
It's right here.
It's right here.
You and us.
You and us.
Kick it up a notch. Kick it up a notch.
True.
Double
Argo.
Argo
Lifer.
Said you had a bad day. Couldn't make a first down. You tried to go long to turn it around. But constant penalties. Your tell you couldn't hide. The work on the ground didn't do fine. You had a bad day, yes and no lie. You're coming back to town, and we are in the right frame of mind. You had a bad day. Our number one, Ricky Ray.
Had a bad day,
Ricky Ray.
Number 15 on his back,
in our
hearts.
Number
one. Number
one, our
heart. I screwed up the last part at the very end, you dumb.
On Blog Talk Radio, Candid Frank. The CFL is the best football in the world on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Except when there's a game on Friday. We tried that. Didn't work. Well, it's my hope that it being my show and I pay the bills that I can be heard. Possibly they're just kidding just to try and get under my skin. Or maybe I have to minimize how many mics are up at the same time. We'll try that and see if it works. And I'll start with, of course, because this is the Argo show. I mean, this is the CFL show. I'll go to John and ask him the question that I don't even care about the answer anymore. I'm just fed up, and I don't want nothing to do with it anymore. Just whatever that happens, it's fine. I'm happy when they play in the Skydome. I don't care. What? If the MLSE buys the team, Bill Howe posted he's concerned because the guy on Sportsnet that does that, Bob McClown, the guy that that looks like he belongs on a park bench, he said the deal's off.
Right, yeah. Don't read into it. It's just politics at play, drama to set up. To bring it some more attention, just like they did with the strike, blah, blah, blah. Look, they've already played the cards to the politicians that the Argos are part of the deal. They went in for the government grants, the permits, the whole nine yards, and they're still, going for some more stuff. So I just don't see it not happening any other way. Like I said, to me, it's already a done deal. This is just another drama ploy to bring it more attention, and they're doing a good job at it. They gotta sell it in some way. They just can't announce it tomorrow and say it's sold. It's not done that way anymore in media. You know, you gotta build a little bit of a climax to it, and it's coming from Sportsnet. You know, if it was coming from TSN, maybe I might believe it a little bit more. But Sportsnet, what do they care about the CFL? Why do they even bother? You know. Why?
What's less than nothing, John? What's less than nothing?
I know, Frank. I get it. So I don't believe any of it. None of it. Zero.
Do we agree, John? Can we agree that this is a move that it is more important to when one considers that MLSC's partnership, other than Tannenbaum, includes two opponents in business: Sportsnet, which is Rogers, and TSN, which is Bell. This is the property that Bell is wrapping both their arms around and promoting, right? Because they don't have any hockey.
When MLSC wants to get something, they get it. Remember, from what you heard and what's been said on his show, is that the deal is off the table because of certain things that.
$10 million and Grey Cup partial share of it.
You know, and if a deal is broken because of something that was not taken off the table or wasn't put on the table, then the deal is still there. Do you know
right.
what I'm trying to say
part
here?
Of the negotiation process.
Yes.
That's what you're saying, right? It's part of the
yes.
negotiation process.
Yes, yes. This is just to get us some more attention. I mean, there is no other buyer out there. There is no other interested party. There are no other bidders that are going petitioning at City Hall, you know, bringing a whole team with them, with lawyers and all that stuff, to show them exactly what their plans are and what their, you know, so this is just politics. That's all. Don't get excited,
perfect.
Bill Howell.
Staying
just
on the
way out.
Staying on the Argos, because we know that the fans across Canada love the Argos and love hearing about Argo news.
Mm-hmm.
And on an important note, I understand that the water handlers have changed. We don't have the same water handlers as we did last year.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, gee, I'm going to miss those guys.
Me too. They were
good
awesome.
Good point, Frank. I'm glad
yeah.
you brought that up.
Mo, Larry, and Curly. That's what their names okay. were, Larry and Curly. And
okay.
every time the Argos wanted water, they go, beep, 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 and they'd run down. Nah, come on, I'm just kidding. I'm just yanking the chain of these other people that aren't. They don't understand the immense pride and the total, like, to be an Argonaut fan is so glorious because there are no teams that have won more Grey Cups. Where's the team that's won more Grey Cups than the Argos?
I don't know. Where are they, Frank? Where are
well,
they?
I don't know where they are.
Tell me.
I don't know where they are.
I mean, there's a lot of wannabes out there, and
yeah.
rightfully so. They should want to be like us. Oh!
You can't blame them. You can't blame them.
No, you can't.
No,
you better unmute them because they're all probably screaming.
Who doesn't?
Oh,
who doesn't?
Dog, go. Go.
We're not scared of your dog. I'm not scared of you. So, like,
go away.
Canada.
Go away.
You talk to my dad.
Anywhere.
Talk to me, bro.
Are we getting in a... There's drama going on with Bruce John Inch and his dog.
Take the first hit there.
The drama begins.
We've got a fight about to go down. They're gesturing. They're challenging each other to take the first swing, but no one's got the balls to do it yet. Hold on.
Can you put that on webcam?
No, I just deleted... I canceled the mic. The mic is off. I don't need
oh,
any drama.
Oh, come on, Frank. Why would you
stop.
Do that?
But honestly, great. Too much drama. Let's talk about what we're here for, and that's football. So I had a little fun with you with the Arc. You know, a little payback, if you will. Let me ask you guys this question. On that note, and anybody can pipe in as long as we don't talk over each other. The important question to me is the East that bad? And I'll start with Manasseh, who believes that and has always believed it. He probably will continue to believe it. Exactly.
I mean, there's not even an argument on the other side, Frank. We all know it. They got absolutely whooped. In the words of Martin Lawrence, they got wazazazooked, man. That wasn't even competitive. Oh, my God. The offensive line
Lawrence?
In the Eastern
Who's
Division
Martin Lawrence?
Are so weak.
Is he still on television? Is he
still
the
actor, the comedian? Okay, well,
I know.
Maybe
I know. I used to love the show that he did. He had a show on early in his career. Yeah. So
bad boys.
You figure this is I mean, do you think the East is going to win a game?
No, I mean they're going to win against each other, and at some point, you know, we don't
know
what Ottawa
I mean,
looks
against
like.
Against the West, will there be how
well,
many?
I mean,
how
Ottawa has the best chance to win in the West because if you look at their team, notice that they went and got Keith Schulligan and Zach Anderson for their defensive line, and then they added John Gott from Calgary on their O line, so. They have more of a, what you would consider that more rugged, big, tough line of scrimmage that you need to hang out west. So Ottawa might be the one team that can do it.
And depending on how the season goes as well, because there's moves that have to be made, they're not set, you know, as a Grey Cup entrant, if you will, the way they are right now. They're going to have to make some moves. But the beauty of the CFL is that there are a lot of players who aren't playing. A prime example... Anthony Allen, not a bad running back.
No, he's got a great offensive line. That's
hey?
Why.
Exactly. Well, no, aside from, you know, I'm not going to argue that point with you because, you know, the point is the guy he replaces is not here, and yet he produces equally. I think he's done a great job for his first game in with Saskatchewan. You can jump in here, Kelly,
sure.
if you want.
Yeah, I mean... He definitely eased some minds here in Saskatchewan. It is just one game, and you know, you got to give a lot of credit to the offensive line, as always, in Saskatchewan, as opposed to the running back. That's what we're learning. about this team is that the offensive line is the key to it all, and they're definitely gonna, you know, be the savior on offense this year. I think the defense showed just exactly what they can do as well, and you know, they're the number one defense in the CFL right now as it stands. That was the most dominant defensive performance of the week.
Then how come, and this is a question I have, league leaders in defense, on the CFL page, two Hamilton Tiger Cats, Simone Lawrence and R. Murray, are with 8 and 7 tackles.
Mm-hmm.
Statistically speaking, does that mean anything?
No. Not really. It just means that, you know, I mean, there's a tackle on every offensive play. I mean, with the exception of a touchdown, and I think touchdowns are once every 30 plays in a game. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I hear you. And everybody can come in and just, you know, we'll try to talk not on top of each other. And the point I guess I'm trying to make is we all agree that Drew Willey had a great opening day for his career as a CFL starting quarterback with 306 yards passing. The one that doesn't surprise me, and we talked about this last week, Bo Levi Mitchell, 313 yards against a team that Manasseh himself, you know, as the guy, as the brilliant brain when it comes to the CFL, and I'm not saying it sarcastically, who cited that Montreal's defense was impenetrable. You know what I mean, Manasseh? That had to have been a surprise even for you, right?
Well, I mean, the defense was good. I mean, they just gave up because the offense just gave them no motivation whatsoever, you know.
Is that your take on it?
By the third quarter, because by the
I don't think they gave up. I think they just got tired.
Yeah, I mean, it was 11.
And that would make
5 minutes left in the third. So it wasn't like Calgary was running over them. Yeah.
All right, Montreal's going to get better.
Hey. And you know what? This is my talking. And I feel the same way. I agree with Manasseh to a point where they got tired. And the defense did play good, but the offense would hurt Montreal. I mean, granted, I think Chad had 2 catches. SJ had 2. Duran had 1. I think Stala had 2. I mean, come on now. I mean,
what offense?
1 or 2 balls to each receiver. And I'm just going to get into my point. There wasn't no offense. I mean, the flutter balls, he overthrew his receivers. He underthrown his receivers. I mean, he had a bad day. And my second point to this is if Trey Smith have a bad day next week, I give about week 3, they're going to make a quarterback change.
And no one should be surprised.
No one should be surprised.
You have to give Calgary credit for they played good. They did.
No, I give Calgary credit when credit is due. They did play good. And Bo Levi Mitchell outplayed Trey Smith. I mean, he outplayed him. I mean,
yeah,
that
102 yard pass was amazing. It was great.
Yeah, from Bo to Mo. Now, am I gonna ride Calgary all the way to week 6 with a winning record? No, of course not. Because, like I said on Facebook, it's one game.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to get better from week to week. Now,
that's what I told you. Five games it takes, in my opinion.
We're going to really see who's for real and who's not. The pros and the cons.
And on the flip side, who's really bad?
Yep. There you go.
Right? Because, you know, hey, Bruce, you there?
Yeah, you got me muted.
Well, I had you muted because we didn't want to witness the discussion you were having.
Oh, no, dude. We almost had a fucking, a neighborhood fight out front.
We heard.
Really?
I guess some guy came over lighting firecrackers on the front lawn, and Buddy, he's ex-military, man, and he went ballistic. And then, so I brought my dog out, and he went nuts. And that's okay. We got rid of him.
Yeah, we
kind of
hurt.
It's not even Canada Day yet.
Well, I stuck my phone in my pocket, but I thought I had it on mute.
No, it wasn't on mute. I
apologize.
Don't apologize.
I apologize. How did you have it do, though, at the spur of the moment, man? Guy was on my front line.
Now, Frank muted your phone, man, so you can take
it. Okay,
that's
good. It's good.
No, nothing.
But anyways,
we're enjoying it, though.
Anyways,
is John Granger still on the line?
I gotta go, guys.
What's up, Manasse?
Okay, I just finished listening to that interview.
Let Bruce say goodbye. Bruce has got to go.
Yeah, my adrenaline and his adrenaline's all worked up, so we're going to go for a walk. And
see you, Bruce.
You guys be good. All right. Robbie. Nice talking to you on Facebook today, buddy. Always a pleasure with you, my friend.
No problem, my brother. No problem, man.
Good luck to you, Red Sox, there in your first game, buddy. Besides that, wish everybody an Oski Wee Wee Canada Day tomorrow. A very happy Canada Day. And we'll talk to you guys on on Wednesday.
Okay, see you, Bruce.
All right, good night, guys.
Later, Bruce.
Good night. Yep.
Okay, Manasse.
Good night, Bruce.
You were discussing the merits of Montreal.
He was asking if John was there.
No, I'm talking about the...
Did everybody
listen to the Sportsnet thing about MLSE? Did everyone check out what they said?
No.
Sure. And,
okay, anyway, the question I have for John is this guy just said that the Argos only have 3,500 season ticket holders. Is that true?
No.
Okay. Because I was about to be like that. It cannot be that low.
No,
and he's
not
making
that
it.
Low.
Okay. I was checking.
Well, it wasn't that low last year.
Yeah, but basically what he's saying, the reason why he said the deal's off the table is that David Braley's asking MLSE to pay him $3 million a year for the next I don't know how many years, and then he has to get like half of the Grey Cup money when the Argos get to host the Grey Cup. And this guy's saying that MLSE feels like they shouldn't have to pay a dollar for the team because the team is worth nothing.
Yeah,
so I don't know, man.
Crap.
John, I'm not sure that's crap, because that fits into the MLSE mode of operandi, which is pay nothing
for
something.
No, it doesn't fit in, because they've been going to the politicians and saying that there is value there, and please give us money for a team that is valuable. So it's the oxymoron of an argument you just laid out there. No, it doesn't make sense.
Let me try it a different way.
My phone's beeping, so it might cut out, but anyway.
Okay, well, anyway, you can listen to it. There it is. You can listen to it on the replay. The problem with MLSE is that they do fine charitable work, but they advertise that they do it. They have a fan fest for their hockey team, and they charge a family of four $90 or $77 or something like that.
Crazy.
MLSE does not get involved in a situation where they don't make money. That's their primary directive. They make money. They don't care about the fans. They only care about making money. That's all they've ever done. Now, hopefully, with Brendan Shanahan, that's going to change. And this fits right in, because they're saying, hold on a second. We're not here to work for the community, the football community, the CFL. We're here to make money. We're not sharing anything with you unless we get the money, which basically, when you think about it, John, is the same argument that Chris Jones and Bill Howe made for the owners in the CFL. So, you see, it is true, as good a guy, and you know I have nothing bad to say about Braley, the fact that Braley would ask for money doesn't surprise me. He's lost a lot of money.
Oh, my God.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I just listened into the interview. The guy's like, they asked the guy that interviewing, he's like, if you were buying the Argos, how much would you pay for them? The guy's like, first of all, I wouldn't pay a dime, and the previous owner would have to pay me $3 million a year just to own the team in a subsidy. So I don't know, man.
Yeah, but
I don't know what's going on.
Coming from the opposition of the sports network that doesn't support the CFL. This is coming from a network spokesperson.
But, John, these are people who want to buy the team.
I'm referring to Manasseh's, you know, the tearing down the value and stuff like that.
I'm not tearing down. I'm just telling you what the guy said. And I just
telling you where it's coming from. I'm telling you where it's coming from, okay? These guys don't come out saying the attendance figures were great, the contracts that they got signed with new television deals. Sportsnet doesn't do that. All they do is come down tearing down, and they're just playing out the game like they should. It's politics. So,
but, John, I don't think –
but
Manasseh,
isn't,
did you get
don't
my,
they have some logic
my,
to that? Like,
but, Manasseh, did you get my point about the way MLSC works? They don't do anything without making sure they get credit for doing it. Like, they're trying to create a paint a picture that the Argos are a charity case.
Right. And they're coming
that's
in
that's my
you.
Question, though. Aren't they, aren't
I know
they
the
technically
question.
A charity case? Like, isn't that
no,
reality?
No, they're not a charity case. What they are...
Listen, Manasseh, until
my
stadium,
question is are the Argos
CFL
actually worth
team,
a dime?
Yeah, listen, until any CFL team, maybe technically not because they don't have their own stadium, you know, foundation, but unless any CFL team has their own
stadium control.
But they
do have their own
control,
stadium, John.
And their own control.
You have reached
of
the maximum time permitted for recording your message. If you are
there
satisfied
you
with your message, press 1. To listen to your message,
thanks
press
that,
2.
Frank.
To erase
no,
and re-record,
just press
1. 3.
I can't
you know,
press
why,
1.
Why can't you put that on mute?
I don't even know
who
it is.
Are you still there? You have reached the maximum time permitted for recording your message. If you are satisfied with your message, press 1.
I don't
know who it is. Listen to your message,
okay, I'll find
press
out.
2.
I'll find
to
out.
Erase and re-record.
There you
got
go.
Got it.
There you go,
first
honey.
One. First one.
Yeah, back to my point.
Rob Jamry.
The Argos are going to always, and they are right now the weak link without a stadium control, revenue coming in, resource, and having control
right.
of their dates. Until they get control of their dates, like, you know, decent dates in their calendar, then we can stop tearing down their attendance figures. Maybe because people will come out
John,
on the
why
night.
Is it? But, John, why is it?
Well, it's
why
not
is
their
it
attendance
people...
figures or the stadium, John. The question is, is the team actually worth anything?
Hey, Manasseh?
Yeah.
Manasseh?
That's what they're opposing, yeah.
As an outsider, the value that I see that the Argos have is that they're the oldest sports professional sports team in North America. So there's a value to that.
You're not talking about hard assets.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
No, I'm talking about emotional
there's
assets.
There's a huge difference in that, and I'm not going to try with Manasseh on this one, but, you know, hard assets and actual value with gate receipts and with
but you could do something with that, though. But you could do something with that, though. There's a base
Stevie.
There.
No, you know, I disagree. You know, being the oldest.
Guys, hang on. We're talking about I agree with you guys. You're talking about value, but can we not also agree that there's a depressed value the Argos are?
Oh
that
yeah.
They, you know what I mean? Like remember now, Saskatchewan wasn't far off from where the Argos are right now. A few short years ago.
Well, they were worse.
Thank you.
That's because they were losing. Again, let's be clear. That's a totally different. You cannot compare the
but
two.
But Manasseh, how then you're assuming. That people are rejecting
Toronto
the Argos,
really bad.
Even though they're winning. What I'm saying
it isn't
the reality, because John and I experienced the post-victory behavior of the Argonauts. John, what did they do? Oh, geez, I lost John, so he can't talk, so I'll have to do it for him. After the Argonauts won the Grey Cup, the Argos did nothing for the fans after in the first game the next year, all right? Guys, there's such a thing as promotion. There's such a thing as marketing. And if you don't market and promote the team, do you really expect people to show up, especially in a market that has 6 professional franchises in it, which
yeah.
we established on the internet? You know, I forgot about the AHL. Sorry about that, Stevie. Thanks for reminding me about that team.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know.
Crazy.
It's rough,
it's
man.
Tough.
It sucks being
it's tough.
In Toronto.
Look,
I don't know what to do.
Montreal's not exactly much better than Toronto. You realize that, right?
What about? Well, I mean, Montreal's like Frank? 1.5 million in the hole, where Toronto's like 3 to 5 million a year, and that's that's like dire situation.
Of which probably
know.
A million is rent at the Sky Dome.
Right. I don't know. Who else would be? Like, they're the only ones, I think, that can turn the situation around, right?
Do you really think a network whose nickname is the Toronto Sports Network is going to go with a league that doesn't include Toronto that's based in
that's
Canada?
And that's my point, Frank. You would think that TSN, with everything they have invested in the CFL, you would think that at some point they may have to rescue the team. They may have to take on that team.
And that, I think, is what's going on in the boardroom. The MLSC interest in the Argos, right? You've got an owner, an equal owner to TSN that operates the broadcast of the CFL, and then you have the Rogers people who have nothing to do with the CFL and probably would rather have nothing to do with it, as Manasseh mentioned on Facebook just a short few an hour or two ago, mentioned that, you know, what do they care about the Argos? They don't need to babysit them anymore. They can just get an NFL team now. They don't have to prop them up anymore. Isn't that what you said, Manasseh?
Yeah, the NFL made it clear that there's no stipulation about the Argos whatsoever. They can buy the Bills, and there's no problem at all. So that whole concept that the Argos has to be taken care of is
gone.
It's not.
It's just a matter of corporate responsibility. Interpret it. Don't misunderstand me, please. If the Argos drop dead, someone's going to be held responsible. And Manasseh's point is no one will care. Stevie Meyer's point is someone will care, and they'll be, you know, not heads rolling.
No. Frank, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying David Braley is wrong for asking for the MLSC to pay for the team.
He's going to have a fire sale.
Are you suggesting that he should be satisfied with not having to pump money into the team anymore?
Yeah, because if other than MLSC, nobody else is taking the team, so he should be happy.
I agree with you.
I agree with you.
And it's always, as John said before he left, and as he agreed, you guys all heard him, he said it in his own way, and I tried to help by saying that it's basically a situation where Rogers and TSN don't want to pay anything for it. And honestly, can you blame them?
No, you can't blame them.
The team has value regardless of what you believe, regardless of how much it's losing money. It has value. It has value in assets, which is training equipment and facilities or whatever they have. It has assets in their sponsorship. It has assets in the contracts of the players.
And the team has value.
Profit,
which they are making.
It's not a dollar. It's not a dime. It's nothing. It has value. Does it have a $20 million price tag? Probably not.
It's not even close.
I don't think
what the heck.
No,
Calgary went for $17 million.
Well, is the $10
million... If Calgary is worth $17 million, then Toronto has to be worth less than $10 million. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
I'm not arguing with Manasseh. I'm just saying that
I don't think anybody
it has a value. Is it $3 million? Is it $4 million? Is it $6 million? I don't know what
it
is because I'm looking at the ledger.
Or is it
but
zero?
It has a value.
I think it would have to be, it'd have to be in the hundreds of thousands here. I don't think we can talk millions. I mean... Because you have to give an incentive for somebody to take something that they know they're going to lose $3 million this year on.
Are you saying that the agreement that the players and the owners got into and the contract signed with ESPN and, of course, TSN and the added, sponsorship deals that they've pulled in, that TSN has – not TSN, the CFL has pulled in, is not
mm-hmm.
– and then, of course – The minor raise to the players, I'll call it minor or generous, you know, but by CFL standards, generous, by, you know, whatever.
Yep.
All that stuff, you know, I talked about cost certainty by definition is what I call it. What you guys called it was basically paying what the guys are worth and that they can give, that the league and the teams have. You can't give people money they don't have. And now that they've supposedly solved this problem, at least apparently so, right? Is it not in the future a better idea to be a part of this league than it would have been the last 3-4 years, 5 years?
But, I mean, in every other team, yeah, because each team got about $2 million, and that's basically what it breaks down to.
But
the
we're
problem
at the ground
is for the Argos,
here, right? We're here
right,
at the
for
ground
the Argos,
floor.
That took the Argos from negative $5 million to negative $3 million. So
yeah.
there's still millions of dollars in the hole. And, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, like you and I, any person, I mean, who would want to buy something that they know they're going to be losing tons of money on every year?
Well,
yeah, I don't understand why MLSC is even talking to them.
Well, because
that's my
here's
point.
Why. But here's why, guys. You know, the thing about the reason the Argos have a $5 million tab is because they don't own the stadium. MLSC has a stadium. They have to pay rent.
Oh, well, that's not the whole picture, Frank.
No. Well, let me allow me to
you
allow
have
me
no
to,
season
allow
tickets.
Me to, no, but allow me to bring a few things in here because I agree with you guys. You raise the issue of the negative $3 million, even if they get the $2 million. Well, the rest of the $3 million is expenses. Can we at least agree on that? It costs money to have a team, no?
Right.
So now if you have a practice facility which costs, I'm not going to put numbers against this, but I'm just going to list a few things off the top of my, as my wife likes to say, top of my head. The practice facility, there's a cost attached to the practice facility.
Yeah, but do they own it, Frank?
No, it's a rental. It's a rental, and we all know, come on, guys, when you rent something, you could rent it for 2 years and you could own it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When you rent something, it costs
$2 million a year.
There you go. So, and now they got a facility already at Downsview Airport, far superior to what they have right now, right? Mm-hmm. And it becomes part of it. So the investments already made by the company.
They're cutting out, Frank.
Your mic's doing it again.
Yeah. What else is new?
Stop spilling your drink on
your
the
back,
mic, Frank.
Yeah, well, that's because I saw somebody was booted out and I brought him back in. Right, Stevie?
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry about that.
No, don't apologize. You just got this, or did you just?
Well, just in case you were getting an echo, because I was listening to you guys online until somebody called me back.
Okay, no worries.
So I was
just turning
that off.
Well, that somebody is me, and I just did it. there's expenses attached to owning a team, practice facility, stadium rental. All these things are a lot of money, and they can add up to $5 million.
But every team in the league has those expenses.
No, they don't.
Who doesn't?
I disagree.
Who doesn't?
They got a front for merchandise too, Frank, and they have to front
for all
the concessions.
I mean,
they have to front for hosting a playoff game if that happens. They have to front for hosting a second event if they host the Grey Cup. I mean, there's tons of expenses.
Training camp facilities.
Every team has the same expenses, whether they own the building or not. They still have expenses.
Yeah.
But we're saying maybe they can cut.
Well, look, Stevie, you're in here still, right?
Stevie Myers. Yeah,
When you walk up to buy your tickets in Ottawa, there are three teams that are connected, owned by the same, the Fury,
67,
and the Red Blacks. Do you not think there's a cost savings on them unifying?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Definitely.
Thank you. That's all I'm trying
to
say.
I'm just saying this, but they might also have one of the teams might be a loss leader. So the NASL may end up being a loss leader, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. But you're doing it because you got the facility and you want to use it.
Yeah.
And you're hoping it turns into a profit-making venture.
Which is why I don't understand why a company like MSL, Maple Leaf Sports, wouldn't take on the Argos even at a loss, because it's just adding, even if they were losing $3 million a year, in the scheme of things, how much is that to them?
Because Mr. Myers...
And they would have the whole sports monopoly in Toronto.
Does not everybody realize,
Steve. They don't care about taking the loss on a yearly basis because they can make that up. Their issue is that the fact that David Braley's asking for them to pay for
the team. David Braley's doing what CFL owners do. They look after their – Chris, this is not the kind of action of somebody that you described. You made this guy sound like a saint, and he's somebody that only is interested in helping the CFL. It seems to me that while he's going out the door, if this is true, remember, now we don't know this to be true either. It sounds like a golden freaking handshake, no?
Well, it depends on the dollar values. I haven't listened to the report or watched it or anything else, so I'm not going to comment on what's happened one way or the other. But we don't even know if it's reality.
Right, but do you think that Braley should be grateful to walk away?
He wants $10 million a year,
right?
And he wants half of the Grey Cup money for whatever number of Grey Cups the Argos host.
But who told you this is what I'm trying to say. I'm not going to defend David Braley. I'm not. The man's a businessman, and any businessman that's worth $2 billion didn't get that way without being ruthless.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
There's no. I'm not going to debate that in any way, shape, or form.
Did anybody say he was worthless?
I said ruthless.
Oh, ruthless. Oh, okay. Wow.
You don't get
to be
a billionaire without being ruthless. Okay,
but can we also agree, here's the other thing that in my little time owning my company, 10, 15 years, one thing I noticed is that I can write a lot of stuff off. Oh,
yeah,
God.
Losses
are not a problem. Losses are not a problem. With losses, you can make money with losses.
That's what I'm thinking.
Count if you're making money.
Or if you're making too much money elsewhere.
It could offset losses of one company against another company.
And are you telling me that the Argos wouldn't be a good cost erasing or tax benefit for them owning the Maple Leafs and such?
That's what I'm saying.
Don't start being an accountant, Frank, when you don't actually have the ability to do that. And I don't mean that in any disrespect.
You cannot take
the profits of his auto parts company that's making millions, if not billions, of dollars a year, and write off that against a losing corporation called the Argonauts, because you can't transfer that from one corporation to another. That doesn't work. It only works if he takes the personal loss and he takes the personal profit. And anybody that's worth a salt would not take any personal profit because these guys don't pay income tax. So having a losing team doesn't make any sense to somebody who doesn't pay tax.
Okay,
because when you got $2 billion, you don't pay any income tax.
No, you know what? This is from a simple-minded approach on my part. And I guess what I'm trying to suggest is that if, like you said, I get what you're saying, but if you can create a situation where you have an umbrella and that umbrella underneath it has a bunch of interests, you know, companies under that umbrella, in this case a bunch of teams, ones that make money, you use the ones that don't to offset the taxable income, you know. And then we all know that MLSC is more than willing to advertise how generous they are to the world. They did it here in the Toronto Star, you know, like we have donated to parks here and there.
Yeah.
I mean, generosity and kindness.
They all do it, though. All companies do that, though.
Yeah, I know, but they don't put full-page ads out saying they did it.
You know, if anything else, MLSE right now is trying to say, we're the good guys, we're trying to take over the Argonauts, and this mean old Mr. Braley is being an ass about it.
And
I think that this story is being blown out of proportions.
That's my concern. Because
I don't really believe that David Braley is looking for anything out of this more than, I don't even think he's looking at for what he's got into it. He's going to make the profit off the Lions when he sells them.
So you think he would, Chris? You think he would, Christopher? You think he would walk away from it, like just sell it at zero?
Throw the keys on the desk.
Throw the keys on the desk and walk away.
No. I do not believe that he will throw the keys in the desk because that's just not going to happen. I mean, that's a bad business move.
So it might be the keys on the desk and
a dollar. Like, why would? I mean, if you're MLSC, would you pay a dime for the Argos? I mean, why would you?
Manasseh, your point is, and well taken, and you're right. Why would somebody in that position offer a cent for the team that's been losing money? Because to simple-minded people like me, never mind tax stuff and all that kind of stuff, but if I'm going to buy something that loses money, why would I pay anything for it?
Why do
it just
they
doesn't
want
make sense.
Especially when you know that there's no one else. They're not competing with anybody else. Like, nobody else is bidding for the team. So MLSC is basically looking at Braley saying, just give it to us or you're going to have to keep it. That's your only option.
What I mean, if MLSE does not believe it has any value, why do they want it? Just the simple fact that they are at the table.
Who says they want it for money?
Frank, obviously, if they're at the table, they want the team. So then it has to have a value to it because otherwise they wouldn't be at the table.
Well, the value it has is they're using the Argos to leverage the feds and the province to give them money towards
their kicking tires
renovation. That's the whole point.
Another ownership
wouldn't come to it and say it's the same value. It only has value to MLSC because of the stadium deal. But for somebody else, there would be no value at all.
Thank you very much. Exactly. There's a value to them.
which
agrees with Christopher. And that's Christopher's
exactly.
Right.
And when you have a value, when they have a value to it, they're going to have to pay for that value.
Whether they want to.
And you know what? If Bob Wentnall turned around to David Braley and said, you know what, I'd like to take off the Argos, Braley would probably toss him the keys. But because it's MLSE and they're going to profit by the purchase of this team, then they should pay for it. There's a difference.
Well, you know what?
I guess it's just tough negotiations on both sides, and somebody's going to come out a winner of this.
Well, it's going to change, Hans.
You know, we've talked about this thing for an hour and a half now, and it doesn't make a bone bit of difference what we do.
We've talked about it for about a half an hour, Max.
True. Yeah, I know. I've been listening.
Right? You sound interested. All right.
Well, what's that bone there?
You know what? Right now, the World Cup is going on, and I believe that's why an announcement of when and if it happens with MLSD, they'll want the decks.
You guys have had every excuse under the sun.
That's the way they operate.
There was synchronized swimming on that day, so they couldn't announcement.
I'm just saying, in my opinion, they'll announce it when the decks are clear next.
I'm sure.
No, we
talk about football players themselves.
Yes. Okay,
so Schmidt, why don't you tell us about that bone you had to pick earlier that you didn't?
My bone I had to pick is that hit from Hubick or whatever.
Yeah, we don't need to go there. That's okay.
That's bull, Schmidt, man. I tell you, man. I just wanted to.
What was this? I didn't hear that.
That hit that the Hubert or whatever Cornish. His name was?
The Montreal Alouette Hebert.
Oh, Terry Hubert hit on John Cornish?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You want to talk about this?
He used his arm as a club.
You know what?
That happened. That happened, what, a couple minutes or 5 minutes before when Nick Lewis did a legal hit, a legal block, right? And then five minutes later, then that happened.
Nick Lewis's hit was far more dangerous than Carisi Bear's hit was. Because he took somebody in a blindside position who was not ready for a hit. John Cornish, when he's got the ball, he's ready for a tackle.
You're within five yards, you're allowed to hit the person that's the guy. Of course you are.
But you also
and he
have
hit
a,
him in the shoulders, too. So there you go.
He blindsided him. The guy didn't even know he was there.
Well, that was far more dangerous. Nick Lewis should have been tossed for that.
No,
it was a legal hit.
You don't think John Cornish's
hit was illegal? The guy got disqualified. How many guys have they disqualified in the CFL in the last 20 years? Not that many.
Nick Lewis does this all the time. He blinds people. He hits them from the blind side.
Come on, it's wonderful.
It makes a great highlight reel. But the man does it all the time. Okay? He's going to kill somebody, and then what's going to happen?
The CFL announced that that's going to be a penalty from now on. And then the Alouette players were upset that the refs didn't call that when Nick Lewis did that. And so they felt like they needed to take it in their own hands. And it was payback. That's what it was.
It was payback.
I don't think Hebert's tackle was that bad of a tackle.
Oh, my.
Isn't that a tackle? Yeah,
Cornish
trying to take
like
his
freaking
head
like
off.
Minutes,
for
Christ's
sake.
I would say that to any CFL team,
not just because they love the stamps. I would say that to any player in the CFL. If they did that, you should be suspended. Period.
Well, he won't be suspended. And if you look on my group, we've got a couple of CFL players that are in there that are saying, you know what? That tackle happens all the time. The only reason is it caught him in the wrong spot. Okay,
he was going for his head. That was just plain and simple. You could see it. He was going for his head.
And that's your opinion. I'll give you
my opinion on the hit. It looked to me like he open-handed punched him in the head.
It was more of a roundhouse over the top. It was an open-handed punch.
And then he used the palm of his hand to grab his helmet after he hit him. He used the palm of his hand to hit him. And then he grabbed his helmet and he tried to separate his helmet from his head. Or I should say, his head from his shoulders.
All I say, Frank, thank you.
You described it as just like felt like attempted murder, the way Frank described it.
No shit. There's no way that it happened that way.
You guys got to tune in the same highlights that I'm watching football. Or the same game I'm watching or what, buddy? Like,
it
really?
Looked to be like it was an aggressive
hit. Like, the
guy
threw
like
that.
What did he use,
that,
the shoulder? Where was the contact? What did he use to make contact? What did he, you know, I'm asking you.
Exactly.
What did he use to make contact?
I mean,
contact?
Okay, you guys
got to
factor in the fact that, think about the fact that John Cornish is running full speed, Kyrie Seabear is running full speed, Seabear basically just dove trying to get him. And the closest thing he could use is his hand. If he didn't use his arm to tackle him, Cornish is running away. There's nothing else. That was his only option.
Let me ask you this question, though. Let me ask you this question. Like I said before, how many people have been disqualified in the last 20 years in the CFL in a game? And what did he get? He got disqualified. Did Lewis even get a penalty? No, because his was a clean hit.
It wasn't a clean hit. That's the point. Okay?
Okay, now it was a clean hit until the rule was changed, which we've discussed. You guys have made, you, Christopher, have made that point, that the rule has changed.
No, Manasseh did.
Oh, Manasseh?
Yeah, it's called a
the
field
rule
block.
Has changed.
Any more,
right?
Yeah, the rule's changed. It's officially a penalty now.
As of when?
As of after
this season.
As of when, Manasseh?
This season. They changed that rule this last offseason. And
yes.
That's why
it wasn't
calling.
And the refs did not call it. So it was not a clean hit. It was just the refs blew the call. So then you're wrong on that one then, Schmidt. Sorry.
Well,
Stevie
Richardson is saying he got disconnected, Frank.
Oh, I just brought him back.
Already.
Okay, sorry.
I brought him back.
My internet was down. Sorry, Steve.
No worries.
I'm trying to pay attention. It's kind of hard. No, come
well,
on, man. I mean, Schmitty, you have to admit, if it's an illegal hit, it's an illegal hit. But aside from the illegality of the hit, there's lots of
illegal. I don't think it was retribution. It was two guys going at full speed, and it was a tackle.
And he led with his hand.
Led with his hand. How else do you tackle? If you lead with your head, it's a penalty.
Well, you don't hit the guy's head with your hand and your forearm and your muscles and all that kind of stuff. Like, holy Schmidt, come on now.
Well, personally, I think it was a payback hit, and I don't.
Yes,
and
it was.
I also think that, and I have no proof of this, but I don't think Cornish is well liked amongst players.
Oh, that's
he's not like well liked amongst his own players.
Yeah, that's,
yeah
that's,
you can
yeah.
tell his team doesn't.
He's
like
an easy
him.
Guy to hate.
He's one
that's
of the
what
nice
I think
guys.
What I'm trying to say.
Come on, really.
Yeah, Stormy, you got to remember, you're looking at things right now with rose-colored glasses.
Well, I don't wear glasses, but thanks anyways.
Well,
hey, can I say something?
Come on, man. You know what?
Okay,
I've been watching CFL since I was 4 years old. I'm 45. Like, I know football. I know what I see.
I think
Edmonton guy would have had his head chopped off like that, I would have been peed off, too, because I'm a CFL fan, even though I don't like Edmonton, but I don't like seeing players being treated that way and hit that way illegally.
Well, you know what? You're not going to convince anybody who isn't convinced in this group.
No, absolutely not.
It's pretty hard to change people's opinion. Once you get past me, it ain't going to happen.
Well, I mean, no, don't we all agree it was a dirty hit, right? Everybody
agrees. Oh, good.
On that.
Well, no, I just thought it
was
a
ball step for one.
I don't believe it was a dirty hit. I believe that the consequences were dire.
You gotta be kidding me, Chris.
I think no, I don't. You know, John Cornish got hurt, and I feel bad about that. And but you know, it's a football game, and that's why girls don't play it. You know, man up.
Wow. They don't play. Yeah.
What about
wow.
the
you tell
what
that
about
to
the
MVP
Cornish,
of last year?
Cards and
letters
to Chris Jones, Christopher Jones. You can find
wow.
him on Let's Talk CFL Football. That was not good. That was bad.
That's crazy. Chris,
that's
you didn't see Cornish go planking in midair and the dude was unconscious
oh,
before he hit
I'm,
the ground.
I'm not denying the fact of the consequences of what happened. Okay?
Christopher,
yeah,
the,
he
the,
did.
The,
it wasn't
the
a punch in the head. He got hit in the head with his forearm. Okay? And it was a roundhouse type of swing, which is a tackle, which is a play and a tackle.
Sorry, Chris, that is so funny,
from the
dude.
Blind side. The,
oh,
the
come on.
Cornish
oh,
doesn't
yeah.
have eyes behind his
he
head.
He swung his arm like a club and just nailed the dude.
He did.
Head.
He clubbed
I mean,
him. No doubt in my mind. I'm not arguing with that. That's not a penalty.
That's not a penalty. Oh, my God,
well,
really?
Hang on.
It's
yes,
a penalty. What are you talking about?
It's not a penalty in the CFL.
Okay. Whether
you
it's a penalty
I've got the rule book.
Whether
you show me, you
okay.
tell me on what page in the rule book that you're not allowed to hit somebody with your arm.
Okay, Christopher, you're not allowed to straight arm anybody. That's literally what he did, was a straight arm from
he
behind.
Did not.
But
oh
that's
God.
What he did. And by my
no,
definition,
no.
that was a straight arm.
Okay, Chris,
no, Frank,
I think you need to go
a straight arm is when you stop the momentum going forward. If anything, he knocked Cornish forward.
I really think you need to go look at it one more time.
Yeah, but Cornish,
okay.
if you see it in slow motion,
coming,
you'll totally
the
realize.
Point. Hello,
oh,
Cornish didn't see it coming.
It was an
and when you hit someone
know,
in the head,
man.
You should be penalized
can
for
we,
that. So
okay.
all the refs are wrong, and all the disqualification was wrong, and all that kind of stuff. Now,
can
come
we,
on, now.
Can we
yes,
agree?
Storm,
okay,
that
enough,
he didn't
enough.
See coming has nothing to do with it.
Enough.
It was a
25-yard
penalty. Like, I didn't even
time
know you could get a 25-yard penalty. It was that bad. I mean, come on.
A new point here. Let's just move it forward and get past this. We all understand, can we agree that concussions are a concern in football? Not just the
yeah.
CFL,
yes.
in football, and in hockey, in every sport, right? Concussions
in any
are a big
sport.
Concern. And the biggest cause for concern and the biggest cause for the incident of a concussion is when the head is moved, when the head mm-hmm. goes sideways, right? Do we agree? Do people have that knowledge?
Yeah.
Do people understand that?
Yeah, the brain,
well,
brain moves.
The forward and back ain't so
right?
good either, trust me.
Well, the side-to-side, apparently, from what I understand from listening when I care to listen to this stuff, when I'm in the mood to listen to doctors
talk. It's worse than front-to-back.
Exactly.
Is it?
Right, Steve?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think
oh,
so, yeah.
yeah. Absolutely. Trust me. And the
okay.
point is, his shot was completely feeding that problem. The way he did it was side. He hit him on the side of the head.
Okay.
That's why
can,
he was unconscious
okay.
when he
let,
before
let me
he
ask you a question. Him. Would that have been a penalty if he hit him in the shoulder?
No.
No,
of course not.
No, he,
okay.
And what you're saying,
okay.
Chris, is if he would have hit the guy at the ball, the guy his hand with the ball, they would have said it was a great play, right? They would have said that. They would have said
exactly.
that he ripped the ball out of his hand.
His action to tackle Cornish was not premeditated retribution. His action to hit Cornish got him in the wrong spot. Was
oh,
it intentional?
No way,
that's
Chris.
My problem.
He wasn't
sorry.
Going for his body.
Chris, I usually agree
head.
With you,
yeah.
man, but you are so wrong on that.
Yeah,
no.
I think he was going for the
his
head.
Arm.
He was going
you
for the
what?
Headshot.
You're not
He's
any Bears. You know what? I don't like Carrie Bear. I don't like the player. So I'm not defending him because it's who he is. Okay? I don't like him as a player. Okay? But my point being is that nobody was in his mind and knows what his intention was at that point in time. You are making
oh,
assumptions
you
that, hey,
no,
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 no, Christopher's right. Christopher's right. You're 100% right, Christopher. But and I don't mean to bring hockey.
You don't know what his
in,
intent was.
I don't mean to bring, but you know what, Christopher? Forget about intent. Intent nowadays is irrelevant. It's the result now that matters. Because
oh,
there are lawsuits all over
the
place. The
result was evil.
And in hockey, and I'll use a great my great example for hockey because I don't have one for football, and I know I should. I know I should, but I don't. In hockey, if you clip somebody with your stick in the air, it's your responsibility to control your stick. And in my opinion, only in my opinion, nobody else's, just mine, his arm is the most controllable part of his body. When you go flying
I'm not,
in the air,
I'm not debating that, Frank. I agree with it. I'm not saying that it wasn't a penalty. I'm not saying he didn't deserve the disqualification.
But I'm telling
you. I feel
you,
bad. Everything
I'm
it is.
It
all
intended.
I'm saying is I don't believe that there was as much intent or the hit was retribution for a Nick Lewis hit earlier. I
there
just think
intent.
That it was a bad tackle.
It was intent, in my opinion.
It was just
opinion.
A bad tackle.
Oh, God. You know what?
It was
intense.
Well, how long did
again?
That happen after the Lewis hit?
Oh, my
how long
God.
Did that happen?
Does it matter how long it happened after the Lewis hit?
Yeah,
sometimes
but you know
retribution
what?
Takes three games.
And Christopher,
Chris,
I understand your point. We'll
you
never know
the replay
if
again.
It was intent or not. We'll never know that. Right?
There's
I understand
no
your point.
So you guys, assuming that there is wrong.
I see what I see.
And Manasseh, you're being cheeky again.
I'm looking at the replay right now, dude. He cocked back and
yeah,
pushed him
exactly.
in the face.
Will you send me
about?
A link to it? Will you send me a link to it? I can't.
Well,
you
go,
haven't
go,
seen
to,
it,
go,
Christopher?
Go to CFL.ca and they have it.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Did
you
want
to see a link to that if
he's
already
group.
Seen it?
The last time I saw a swing like that, it was Mad Dog Vachon was swinging at Killer Kowalski.
That's true.
Man,
and the guy's career like that.
You look like you got Mike Tyson on that one, man. That was... That was a full, oh, my God.
That was,
I'm looking at it again. You can see Cornish's head just pop back.
And then Christopher has enough nerve to say that that the Lewis hit was just the same as basically the same as the Cornish hit. Like,
oh,
really?
I'm saying the Lewis hit was far more dangerous.
That's not what
I said. The Lewis hit was far more dangerous.
Lewis hit was legal, though.
Reaction when he watched it.
It wasn't legal. That's your problem.
It was legal.
It was not legal.
Oh my God! What
the refs blew it.
Guys. Okay, we're digressing too far. We're going too far. We're towards the end of the program.
He doesn't listen.
Sorry.
Okay, I wanted to
somebody
discuss.
Has to send Chris the link. Let Chris see it first.
I still haven't found it. I'm on CFL.ca.
Just
go to the highlights of the Stamps Alouettes game.
Just
okay.
Google
about
the
5-man
mark. Dirty hit by a bear on Cornish, and you'll find it.
I Googled that.
Okay.
It didn't
Listen, we only got a few minutes left, and in honor of Steve Myers being in the group right now, I'd like to move on to the third thing I wanted to talk about today. It's amazing how little we can accomplish. We only got 10 minutes left. And I'll start with Steve.
We're talking about your Argos.
No, we're not talking about the Argos.
I know. We're talking about the Argos for an hour and a half.
Well, here we go.
We're going to be talking about the best team in the East.
Ottawa in first. Now, all the jokes aside, haven't played a game yet. Haven't even heard the national anthem yet. Haven't punched a ticket yet, and there they are in first place. How long is this going to last? How long are they going to be in first?
The whole season.
Well, we're going to know on Thursday night.
Yeah, so we'll at least Thursday.
The question should be when is the team in the East going to win a game? That should be like a legitimate discussion.
And I say it may be Thursday night.
Oh, no way. I'm sorry. There's no way. If the Bombers did what they did at Toronto, you can't tell me that Ottawa's going to beat Winnipeg. I can't see that.
Cockiness can be a problem. And cockiness can be a problem.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so next week, all the Eastern teams are playing the West. We have Winnipeg against Ottawa. We have Montreal against BC. Edmonton against Hamilton. And then
next
Saskatchewan
we'll
against
two
Toronto.
If the East wins one game this week coming up, I'd be amazed.
That's a miracle.
Ottawa will win Thursday.
You guys are dreaming.
I'm going to take all four Western teams.
Yep.
I think Winnipeg
that's the safe money,
man. Less hungry.
Where's my season?
I think Winnipeg might be a little less hungry.
Am I going on Saturday? Is the game on Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, Saturday afternoon. The Riders
are
going to come
Saturday.
And block.
I'm picking Ottawa on Thursday.
So
I am too. My birthday is on Wednesday, so I'm picking them on Thursday. They're doing it for me.
Happy birthday, brother.
Robbie,
you got to change your birthday
to
Thursday.
They got some tickets. Robbie, they got some tickets. The Argos got some tickets if you want to buy a ticket to the Ottawa game in Toronto.
Robbie?
Yeah.
What Canada's saying there on there's a November game in Toronto. We'll have to get down to see them.
Yeah, well, Robbie's concerned about the game in Ottawa against Toronto. He couldn't find a ticket. They're sold out.
On the 18th,
And the Argos, I spoke to the Argos the other day, and they have some if you want to buy one. I'm buying Serge's ticket.
Okay.
Here in Ottawa, Frank?
Yeah.
No, it's through a group, like a group thing. Like the, you know,
no,
like
how much is the ticket?
Oh, okay. If you have to ask, you're not going.
No, seriously? Because if it's more
probably
than 20
around 80
bucks,
you know what?
Yeah, okay. They're
offering you a free ticket, dude.
What's that?
They're offering you a ticket.
I'm not paying $80 to go watch the Argos lose.
Would be a good investment.
That would just get really fucking drunk. Excuse my language, but get me really drunk.
Digressing.
All right. Well, I just thought I'd mention that. Okay, so.
Manasseh, send me a link, will you, please? I still can't find it.
Oh, good Lord.
Just
ridiculous.
Just
it's in the highlights. It's in the highlights, the Montreal Calgary highlights.
I'm looking at that, but it won't let me skip through it. I'm at the two-minute mark.
Once you see it, you're going to feel like apologizing.
At the 5-minute and 40-second mark, that's where exactly it starts.
Okay, then I'll let it go for another 2 minutes.
Okay.
Manasseh,
I wish we could hear Chris's reaction live, because there's no way he's going to say what he's saying after he sees it. I've been watching it a couple
times.
Oh, he will.
It's pretty bad.
He'll stick to his guns.
It is so bad.
I watched it on my phone, and I felt I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I got to look at it on a bigger screen, so I put it on my
phone. Let me tell you guys, I came back home at 3 o'clock in the morning from a gig, and I hadn't watched the games, and I didn't know. I wanted to catch up with the scores. And sitting in my driveway in the car at 3 a.m. on my mobile, I watched the highlights, you know, the 7-minute highlights. And I actually, like, I went, like, wow, like, in the car to myself when I saw that hit. Like, I actually went,
like, I almost had a tear in my eye, for Christ's sakes.
Well, I got, like I said, it is one of the most horrible hits I've seen in a while.
It's a bad hit,
It was totally.
It literally looks like John Cornish died after he hit him.
Yeah. Hey, don't say that. Knock on wood.
Okay, but I mean seriously, it looks.
You know.
It's so funny though the way.
You know what's full of Schmidt, right? Schmitty.
Yep.
You know what's full of Schmidt? There were a couple of smiles on the Calgary Stampeders sideline. That's the part that makes me a little upset.
Well, no,
he's not well liked because
they didn't have to take him away in an ambulance.
Oh, okay.
Because the ambulance came on the field and he didn't want to go in the ambulance and stuff like that. And word out of Calgary is, I don't know, I mean, they got a bye week, which is a good thing, but who knows, like, if he's going to come back then the week after or not, I have no idea. It's what the doctors
wish him the best, man. I mean, that's not the way to go.
I was flipping back and forth with John on Twitter last night, okay? And he's from my hometown, New Westminster. And we were going back and forth on Twitter. We've been talking for a couple of years. And his biggest thing that he's pissed off about this is he can't go to watch the Transformers tonight with his kid or with somebody.
Yeah, I saw that too, yeah.
And I was going back, and I said, you know what, John, it was a terrible movie. You're not missing anything. And, you know, we're just going back and forth on that. So, you know, he's not showing the symptoms of being concussed that everybody expects him to have. Okay, I'm just watching now.
So you're calling him a faker, though.
Yeah, so are you? Have you seen it now?
There's one. He's coming over.
Boom!
Overhand right.
Yeah. wait for the slow motion.
Oh, overhand.
Yeah, I watched it about like 8 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I've seen it 20 times, and it's all the same.
Look at Cornish's body when he's on the ground, dude. He literally looks like he died.
Oh, yeah, he got run over by a train. Nobody's debating that.
Run over by a train? Come on, he didn't get run over. He got
what position was it at
in
the video?
What's
oh my
that?
God! Like, really? What are you smoking or something? Because you know what? You know what? I've been watching CFL for 41 years, and you know what? I would say that with any player, and that was one of the dirtiest hits I've seen in my lifetime watching CFL.
Yeah,
football.
The dirtiest hit was Rocket jumping on the Calgary player's head.
I was just gonna say that too. Yes.
Oh, what about Khalif Mitchell when he broke that one guy's arm? Remember
that was a bad one too. Yeah.
Arm on?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the throat motions all the time.
Here.
Yeah. CFL's got to step up to
the plate. I think
Khalif
Mitchell might have been worse because he bent the guy's elbow in the opposite direction. I thought
there was intent on that one.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Angela Moscow must have had a couple of real good dirty hits in his day.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys
just don't have them on video.
Yeah, before they had 15 cameras, you know.
And Christopher, so you don't think that after you've seen that video, you don't think that was a dirty hit on Cornish?
Oh, my God. I cannot stop watching this highlight. He just gets laid out, dude, like.
Yeah, well, it's not funny. It's, you know, it's not funny. But Christopher is like, oh, yeah, that's what they do in the CFL. It's all right.
You know what? I can't believe the hit that Lewis put on this guy.
That's legal.
Oh, come on now, Chris. You can't even
no, Storm, he's telling
that
you it's no,
awesome
that's no longer illegal now this year.
Said that, for Christ's sakes. Come on.
That's not a legal hit. That's unbelievable.
Oh, really? That was a legal hit.
Kyrie Seabird cocked back and just
are you,
landed
like,
it
really,
right on
what
his
are
jaw,
you
dude. Oh. It
like, are you
like
watching
like a
the same game? Are you back in the AFL times or what? Or something?
The
it looked
fact
like a
that he
DDT
cocked,
he put on him, though. That was amazing.
It absolutely was, Manasseh. I mean, he cocked back. That was not an accident. He
that was
cocked
a head
back and then released. And then he followed through with a grab of the, like, you know, I'm
Frank,
looking at
you
him
got
going,
30 seconds.
I know how many seconds I got. All right, listen, you've been listening to the candid Frank CFL
right, guys,
is the best football in the world.
Take care,
that's Rob J. Emery saying
yeah.
goodbye. Rob, tickets are available. Tickets are available at, of course, you know where, the Argo head office. And Richardson, you still in here?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm listening in.
Oh, okay. All right. So was it a clean hit or a dirty hit?
It was a nasty hit.
A nasty hit. I'm not doubting that. I'm not debating that in any way, shape, or form.
I got to see the replay again to really give a full opinion on it, and right now I don't have access to the computer.
Okay.
So.
All right, no worries.
Okay.
We got 10 seconds.
The best way I
can
describe it to
you,
Steve, is
you guys are
Stone
awesome.
Cold Steve Austin?
Have a great time.
Remember that Stone Cold Stunner? That's basically what he did to him.
There you go. That's what he did. Talk to you later, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Candid Frank, the CFL.
Happy Canada Day, everyone.
Yeah, happy Candid Day.
Cheers.
I mean Canada Day.
Yeah, cheers, guys.
Canada Day.
Bye, everybody.
Okay, see you later. Storm over and out.